Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 716, Anala. This name occurred as name 294 previously, so that's over 400 names ago. So you can refer to that. There's more in that, and I'll cover some other topics which weren't covered then in this talk. Now, the name is consisting of three syllables, or if you take it, it can also be taken as four, Analaha. So the Sanskrit breakup can be An, Ala, A, Nala, or Ana, La. And in this way, different derivations can be brought out. Some very beautiful ideas here, or understandings. Not enough. He's not satisfied. He's not satisfied. He's completely satisfied. That's one of the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna speaks several times about someone who's satisfied, a transcendentalist, who's satisfied in himself. Apta triptas chamanavaha. Santushta satatam yogi. Several times he speaks about the transcendentalist who's satisfied, and the yogi who's satisfied, and Krishna, yatra yogeshvaro Krishna. Krishna is the supreme yogi. So he's not satisfied? No, he's completely satisfied. But he's also not satisfied when it comes to what he thinks he's doing for his devotees. So as God, he's fully satisfied. Ontologically, you could say he's fully satisfied. But as in the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Yogi, he's fully satisfied, but he's, as the Supreme Loving Person, he's not satisfied because he never feels he's done enough for his devotees. He's not satisfied in this regard. There is, in this regard, Bhatta, Parashara Bhatta, cites the incident of Krishna delivering Draupadi from the shameful situation. What was the what's the worst thing in the whole Mahabharata? Well, the story of the war hinges around this. Superficially, the Kurukshetra battle was fought for the land. The Pandavas were deprived of their kingdom. But even if, theoretically speaking, Duryodhana had given the Pandavas half the kingdom or even the whole kingdom, but still the insult to Draupadi needed to be requited. It is the most horrible thing. For a woman, what could be worse? And for not just any woman, but she's the manifestation of Lakshmi Devi herself. She is the proud Kshatriya, daughter of a great king, and married to five insurpassable husbands. And she's shamed. And so the attempt was made to shame her. And not only that, but everything about it was so inauspicious. And Duryodhana was the happiest moment of his life, that he can shame the queen of the Pandavas in front of the Pandavas, and they can't do anything about it. Bhima, at that time, Bhima, we heard Bhishma is the greatest fighter. He was present. Duryodhana and Bhima was so angry at the time, he could have just anyway, he's so powerful, but by the power of his anger at that particular time, he could have killed all the Dhritarashtras just right there on the spot, and maybe he would have killed Bhishma also, you know. But he was so committed to dharma that on the order of his brother, he didn't do anything. But that anger resided in his heart for 13 long years. Even if the Pandavas had been given their kingdom back, still that offense to Draupadi had to be requited. And Bhimsen's vow, I will kill all the sons of Dhritarashtra. His vow. That vow had to be fulfilled. Several times, Arjuna in the fight, a Kurukshetra fight, even before that, at the kingdom of Maharaj Virat, where the supposed eunuch Brihannala, Arjuna, came to fight with all the Pandavas, even at that time, with all the Kauravas, even at that time, he had the opportunity to kill some of the brothers of Duryodhana in that fight, but he left them alone. You are for Bhima. He will kill you. And in the Kurukshetra fight also, there's several times Arjuna had the opportunity to kill. No, they're for Bhima. It's his vow. I cannot kill you. Eventually, Draupadi was delivered by Krishna, who was in Dwarka at the time, but she called out, Govinda, Govinda, in helplessness, and Krishna manifested himself, or manifested endless cloth. So eventually Dushasana became frustrated. The very fact that they wanted to strip her naked in front of not just one person who's not their husband, but in front of the whole assembly, and no one did anything. And the Duryodhana was laughing, Karna was laughing, Shakuni was laughing, and others, the Pandavas, they how could they look? It's like Srila Prabhupada gave the example of so there was a painting contest. Who can paint the look on the face of a mother as her child is being killed in front of her? And the one who won the contest, the artist won the contest, so the mother, her eyes are closed. She can't look. She can't look and see. So the Pandavas, they couldn't look. They couldn't look. Any dharmic person couldn't look. But for them, it wasn't just not just a matter of dharma and their honor. See, and in one act, the Duryodhana and company wanted to shame Draupadi, and that was the main thing. Wanted to inflict on them great dishonor and great emotional pain. How much it wasn't for the it wasn't just a matter of the honor for the Pandavas, but the pain. The pain they felt because they loved Draupadi. The earth should have opened up at that time and swallowed all these rascals who were perpetrating this. But she's very tolerant. There's one great quality of the earth, she's so tolerant. And also Krishna had a purpose to fulfill, to show the glory of the Pandavas. But coming to the point, that Parashara Bhatta is making here, is that Krishna, he did save Draupadi when she was Ananya Sharana. She had no other shelter. But Krishna, he felt himself, I felt very bad, Krishna said. I supplied cloth, but I felt I couldn't do enough for her. This is Krishna's feeling of indebtedness to his devotees, that he couldn't do enough. He felt very bad, so much so that even when he was leaving this world to go to his own abode, even at that time, he referred, Rinam pravridhamiva me hridayat na pasarpati. He remembered, I did everything that I was supposed to do during this avatar, but one thing I feel, I'm still not satisfied because I have a debt to Draupadi. She had to go through all of this, that's also implied. She had to go through all of this so that my purpose, Bhubhara Haran, my purpose in delivering the earth from its burden of demoniac kings, she had to go through this so that I could fulfill the purpose of my avatar. And what can I do to requite? I didn't do it. It's like, I feel it's a debt that I still owe her, and it's a debt that is increasing with interest. He did so much for the Pandavas, everything he did for them. He did protect her when she cried for help. He changed day into night for the sake of killing Jayadratha by some trick. Arjuna was you know the story, that Arjuna had to reach Jayadratha before nightfall, and the whole Kaurava army was there with Jayadratha at the back. So fighting his way through, avoiding, not taking advantage of the opportunity to kill so many soldiers, just making a path through all the soldiers, one after the other, one after the other, one after the other. Great soldiers opposed Arjuna. He didn't stop to kill them. He just went past them. It took him all day, and just the night fell, and it was finished. Then Arjuna, on his own vow, had to die. If I do not kill Jayadratha by nightfall, I will enter into fire and kill myself. So the nightfall came, and the Kaurava forces were joyful. They stopped fighting, and Krishna told Arjuna, just keep on going, keep on going. You've still got a long way to go to reach Jayadratha, but the night is fun. Just keep on going. I'm driving your chariot. Just keep on. They're all standing. All those fighters have desisted from fighting. And then as he's approaching Jayadratha, Krishna showed it'd been a big illusion. It wasn't night. It was still daytime. There was still little time left. So for the Pandavas to save Arjuna, Krishna turned night into day. He can do whatever he likes. He has promised not to take up weapons and not to fight during the battle for the sake of Arjuna. Again, Krishna broke his promise. Krishna's idea was that, let me be blamed forever for breaking my promise, but I have another promise. I already told Arjuna. Name bhakta pranashyati. I told Arjuna, you declare it. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. You declare it, my devotee is ever vanquished. And I'm going to stand by, and Arjuna will be vanquished. Arjuna of all will be vanquished. It's not possible. So Krishna broke one promise to fulfill another promise. Everything Krishna did for Arjuna, he was for Arjuna, for the Pandavas, he was their messenger, he was the one who was negotiating peace, he was always advising them. He saved Arjuna in so many ways. After the battle, when it's all over, Krishna told Arjuna, now get down from the chariot. They both got down from the chariot. Whoom! It all immediately burst into flames. The chariot, if you're wondering where the chariot is, You want to see the chariot that Krishna drove Arjuna? It burned. Arjuna said, what happened? What happened? And Krishna said that so many weapons hit this chariot, which were meant to destroy it, but by my potency, I made those weapons devoid of potency. But they were sent with mantras, so I can't deny that, but now they let them all take effect. And immediately, the whole chariot burned. So in every way, Krishna was doing everything for the Pandavas, but he felt my debt still not happy. Krishna's not happy. Namalava describes this quality of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of Vishnu, that he is preoccupied. He who is carefree, he's preoccupied in all the time thinking, what can I do for my devotee? What can I do to him? My devotee is struggling. How can I help? Sometimes he puts the devotee in struggle. But Kunti Pratijani, name Bhakta Pranashati. Sometimes he puts the devotee in struggle and lets the devotee struggle so the devotee can come closer to him. But devotee in that situation should know, Krishna's put me in this situation because he wants to help me, so I'll call out for his help. It's not just something I put on tilak, I'm a devotee, Krishna will help me. But when we call out, as Krishna engineered this situation with Draupadi to teach the principle that when we call out in helplessness for Krishna, then Krishna will surely help us. So in this respect, Krishna is like a fire that is never satisfied. Dushparena alena cha. Krishna gives the example in Bhagavad Gita of fire. Karma, material desire, is like a fire that is never satisfied, however much you put into it. It's just like people, they have a desire. I want to get 1 crore rupees. They get 1 crore rupees. You're not satisfied. I want to get more. They just think, when I get 1 crore rupees, then I'll be satisfied. And they get 1 crore. No, I want more. And so then they get 2 crores, and they're not satisfied. And they get 3 crores, and they're not satisfied. We think that we'll be satisfied when we get something, but we're not, because the karma, material desire, is like a fire that burns. So in the same way, Krishna has karma in his heart. He has a fire burning in his heart that he simply wants to satisfy his devotees. He never feels satisfied whether he's done enough for them. The fire is always eager to consume more fuel, so Krishna is always more and more eager to serve his devotees. And that they, I'll get back to Anala, meaning fire, just after a few minutes, Krishna willing. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives a similar meaning, that Anala, incapable. Bhagawan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who does everything by simply willing it, simply thinking it, there's nothing he can't do, that is the definition of God, he feels, I am incapable, that I can't do enough for my devotees. Or another meaning, he's incapable of forgiving offenses against his devotees. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives this meaning. Just like the Draupadi general principle, Parashara Bhatta quotes from Sabhapava of Mahabharata, Dotumeva dakale smin nakshantavyo katanchana yagya vigna karam hanyam Pandavanam Chaduharidam. At the time of destruction of the universe, there are two kinds of people who I will not forgive, Krishna says. One type I will kill is those who obstruct a yajna, sacrifice. And the other type is those who are ill-disposed to who? My devotees. Yes, but specifically to the Pandavas, Krishna says. An example, Krishna refused to eat in the house of Duryodhana when he was invited because he knew the Duryodhana hated the Pandavas. So I'm not going to eat in your house. I become eat in your house, then I become obligated, and you'll put on some show of friendship, which I'm out of etiquette supposed to reciprocate with. So the etiquette is, if you're invited, you accept an invitation. No, I'm not going to go to your house, Krishna. No, your heart is full of hatred for the Pandavas already by that time. So many offenses Duryodhana had done to the Pandavas, and Krishna, no, I'm not going to forgive you. Why? I'm not going to forgive. Forget it. So incapable. He doesn't, incapable of forgiving offenses against his devotees. He can forgive offenses against himself, not against devotees. Or he, incapable means he makes the devotees' enemies incapable. Just like Hiranyakashipu. He thought, now I am Sarva Shaktiman. Now I'm all powerful. I'm just like God. I can do whatever I like. I got all the powers of the universe. All the demigods are under my control. I can do whatever I like. This Prahlad, he's going against me. I wanted to love him as my son, but he's acting like an enemy. Kill him. Incapable. Whatever, Hiranyakashipu. Throw him over the edge of a mountain. Throw him in a pit of poisonous snakes. Have a wild elephant trample him. Put him in burning oil. Have him pierced with spears and tridents. Incapable. Krishna made him incapable of killing Prahlad. He made the devotees' enemies incapable. Or else, he's incapable of hindering the authority of his devotees. That's why he says, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. If I say it that my devotee is never vanquished, I can change my mindset. I can go against it. But if you say it, I have to uphold your word, Arjuna. Shankaracharya, he gives, that point of him not being, going back to the satisfaction. He's not satisfied. One of the commentators, Radha Krishna Shastri, states, this is very important for us who are, most of us, when unfortunately, we haven't come to the level of calling out for Krishna as Draupadi does with full shelter, to full mood of taking shelter. So Radha Krishna Shastri says that we can offer him items of worship, but he's not satisfied unless it's done with full devotion. Most important point. Here he may accept. He accepts the offerings of the Artha Jignasa, Arthati, the distressed, the desirer of wealth, and someone who's simply curious about him. But he really accepts, he fully accepts with full heart the offering of the Jnani. Jnani Twat Maiva Me Matam. Because the Jnani, one who is in full knowledge of Krishna and who therefore surrendered to Krishna, Krishna accepts such a person as being one with him, because the Jnani, the knowledgeable devotee, or one who knows that Krishna is supreme and accepts that, and he knows what Krishna wants. He wants full devotion. So that offering is fully accepted. But Krishna, he's not fully satisfied. He says, okay, good. You're making a good start, the distressed, the desire of wealth, the curious, but he's not fully satisfied with them. And definitely he's not satisfied with the offering of someone who offers something to Krishna, but very much calculated and is acting against Krishna's interest, specifically that example I gave of Duryodhana. He wanted to offer food to Krishna. But Krishna says, Patrang pushpang palang tawayam yome bhaktya prayachitata ham bhakti upaharitam ashnami prayatapana. You offer me with love, I'll take it. You don't offer it with love, not interested. Shankaracharya gives another understanding which is similar to the one he gave in the previous name, Sarvasu Nilaya, in that he referred to the asu as being prana, the life force. So he is the abode of the life force, and in this way he linked Bhagavan with the jiva. So in the same way, Shankara, or in a similar way, he gives the understanding for this name, Anala, that Ana means prana, and the root la means adane dane cha, to take or to get. So in this way, he says, Anan pranan atmatvena lati iti analaha. So the translators translate this to mean that he takes the pran to be of every living being to be his own, and in this way functions in the form of the jivatma. And leaning toward the impersonal idea of jiva and Bhagavan being the same. Satyadeva Vashishta has the same kind of approach, but of course Satyadeva Vashishta is a devotee. So he gives the understanding that Bhagavan takes the pran, means he takes the prana to him. So in this way, he takes the feelings of the devotees to him, and mrityu sarva harascham, the time of death, he takes away the life force from the living being in the material world, and everything else also. Then another meaning that Shankara gives: he who is beyond smell and all other kinds of sensory perceptions. Here he takes the root nal. Nal, gandhe bandhanecha, to smell or to bind. So in this way, anala means not smelt. Na alam asya saha analaha, he was beyond smell, etc. Shankaracharya gives support for this from the Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad. Astulam ananvahrivasam adhirgam alohitam asneham achayam amatram anantaram abahyam. Brahman is neither big nor small. Astulam. Stool can here be taken to mean big, neither short nor tall, not colored, not wettable, cannot be measured, is unlimited, is not outside anything. And in it, so in this way, it means he's beyond sensual understanding and beyond the understanding of the mind. Mm. And in this way, another meaning given by Shankara, very much related to that, is he who is unlimited. Alam paryapti. He's unlimited. So his glories are unlimited. Everything about him is unlimited. So it becomes like the name Ananta. His powers, his energies, his glories, everything about him is unlimited. An example of this, and there may be many, and I won't get into talking about how his glories are unlimited, because they're unlimited, and there's no end to doing so. And the whole Vishnu Sahasranam is an exposition on his glories. And there are names in Vishnu Sahasranam, which their prime understanding is on this point, such as, for instance, Ananta, as we find in Bhagavad Gita, the name Ananta in relation to Krishna's glories. Krishna himself says, na antosmi, na anta, there's no end. So that's Ananta. Nantosti mavadivyanam vibhutinam parantapa. Krishna tells Arjuna, there's no end to my divine glories. I just told you a little bit. So this understanding that Shankara gives, as usual, we'll find that Shankara, when he's interpreting these names, he focuses on the glories, the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas in contrast, Parashara Bhatta, he tends to focus in explaining the same names on the quality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of his kindness towards his devotees. So one is emphasizing the paratvam, the glory, the might, the power, the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the other is emphasizing the devotional reciprocation. So both are correct and true and fully, but the devotees are more interested in his love. So definitely his strength, his wealth, his opulence, his energies, they're unlimited. But similarly, his love for his devotees are equally unlimited. He's always alert to the needs and the prayers of his devotees. So many, Draupadi, I've just spoken about, Gajendra, Krishna immediately rushed to deliver him, Gajendra. Another meaning is given, which is maybe for the name Anala, another meaning is given, which is maybe the most, we can say, obvious meaning. Fire, that I've discussed a little bit already. Dushparena Analena Cha, the word Anala comes in Bhagavad Gita, specifically in the listing of the five main elements, Mahabhuta, or great elements, Bhumirapo, Nalo, Vayu. Nalo here means Anala, because the first, due to basic rules of Sanskrit grammar, the first syllable is removed, so Anala becomes Nalaha, and then again, because of the word following it, becomes Nalo, so Bhumirapa, Analaha, Vayuhu, and so on. He is in the form of fire. Fire is very powerful, very dangerous, very spectacular. Earlier this year, we were getting news reports of bushfires in us raging throughout Australia, and the present time, raging throughout the California and Oregon, of West Coast states of the mainland United States of America. Very powerful, very destructive, and yeah, spectacular, and unable to be quelled. It's, what can you do? When fires, you can bring, as Srila Prabhupada often stated when talking about the forest fire of material life, specifically in relation to the first verse of Gaur Vashtaka, Sangsara Dava Anala Lira Loka. You can bring any amount of fire brigades, they can't put out the forest fires. Charanaya Karanya Ganaganadvam. But the mercy of Krishna takes the form of dense rain clouds. And then Prabhatasya Kalyana Gunarna Vasya, the Vandegaroshi Charanaravinda. The guru acts in a manner, or takes the mercy from the Supreme Lord and rains it on the world. So in this way, although the forest fire of material existence cannot be extinguished by any man-made means, but by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, just like the rain clouds, if there's a massive, there's massive fire and then a massive rain can put out the fire. So this material existence is like a massive fire, impossible to overcome, only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, which is received through the medium of Sri Guru. The form of fire in Bhagavad Gita, there are other words for fire also used. Vasudam Pavakas Chasmi. Vasudam Pavakas Chasmi. In the 10th chapter again, of among the Vasus, I am fire, Agni. Sustains our bodies with the fire in that. There are different kinds of fire in the body. One is that which digests food, that Krishna directly in Bhagavad Gita identifies himself with. Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva, becoming the fire of digestion. Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashrita. Every living being digests food. How is that? By fire. That Krishna is that fire. Pranapana Samayukta Pachamyaham Chaturvidham. So the different life airs are there. And Krishna within those, acting in with those airs within the body. The air fans the forest fire, so the airs within the body, the outgoing and the upgoing, the all pervading within the body, the prana, and then the lower, the prana, which goes downward and causes or outward, which causes defecation. So Krishna, in balance with all of these, he acts as the fire of digestion, and then there's the fire which gives warmth to bodies, so that to human bodies and mammalian bodies, that is Krishna. One who has no end, that's another myth, so that's Ananta, yeah. One who has no opposition. Satyadeva Vashishta gives another meaning. One who doesn't have an end, and then he gives another meaning, Varana, resistance or opposition. And then, Alam Varana, who has no one to oppose him. No one can oppose him. Who is there can oppose him? So that leads us, that becomes similar to another, a name which comes up at the end of this verse, Aparajit. No one can conquer. He's not conquerable by others. Here, Satyadeva Vashishta gives several references. From Shruti, Atharva Veda, Natvad Anya Kavitaro Name Dhyadhiro Varuna Swadhavan. No one, however intelligent they are, however self-controlled they are, however learned they are, he cannot be overcome, cannot be understood. Nadvitiyo Natritiya. No one and their uncle can overcome me. Amindro na parijigye. No, Indra cannot defeat me. Sarvam tadindra tevase. So like this. Then another meaning. You just think a little name like Anala, just, yeah, it means fire, okay, but so many different meanings are coming out. He who rejuvenates his devotees who intensely long for him. Anpranan. This Krishna Datta Bharadvaj. He taking anta in prana, he gives the idea that Unadi Sutra Rishad Ibhyaschit. And Anayati Samujivayati Tapaha. Krishna Swajanan Swadarshanena Iti Anana. So fire destroys, but someone who's performing the fire of tapasya, they become shriveled up. Krishna comes and restores them. Just like there's so many examples. Dhruv Maharaj was emaciated, Krishna came and restored him. The residents of Vrindavan, by his darshan, by showing himself to the devotees, the residents of Vrindavan, yugayatam nimeshena chakshusha pravrishayatam shunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahirame. Out of separation for him, a moment seems like 12 years or more. And how many moments did they go through? It was like an ongoing, long stretched out torture for the residents of Vrindavan. But eventually when he came back, they felt so happy and forgot all the distress of their separation from him. He gave back their life. Krishna left Vrindavan, at least superficially, and he is the life of the residents of Vrindavan. So it was as if they were dead, because their life resides in Krishna. And when he came, they saw him again. Now we are alive again. This is Krishna. Analaha. So when we see fire, remember Krishna. We can remember all these different meanings also if we have such intelligence. But maybe difficult to remember so many different meanings, but the point is Krishna is everywhere. Krishna is in everything. Vishnu Sahasranam helps us to see Krishna in everything, everywhere. And for such a devotee who sees Krishna in everything, everywhere, Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra Sarvang Chamayi Pashyati Tasyaham Na Pranashyati. Pranashyami, nasame cha pranashyati. One who sees me everywhere and in everything, Krishna says, I am never lost to them and they are never lost to me. And that is the perfection of existence. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyavacha. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nidhaya churnakam padayani patya kritva chaka kushatame tadaham ravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya duraj chaitanya chandra chara.